Welcome to Everything Home, where we talk about life, stuff, and balance. Your home is the base for everything in your life, from the structure and contents to what goes on inside and within yourself. To make sure this foundation is solid as can be, we invite a special guest to share something you will find enlightening, inspiring, and entertaining. Now here's your host, Michelle Swinnick. Enjoy the show.
Welcome to Everything Home, the transformational show where we talk about life, stuff, and balance. We're a resource, platform, and community that shares stories, lets passions be heard, and showcases good people doing good business and good things. All of our guests and experts' information and their shows are listed on our website, everythinghometalkshow.com. I've made it very user-friendly. So you just click anywhere on the panels, anywhere on the displays. Their websites are there. Their phone numbers are there. It's very easy to really start learning from some good people. Start using it as a resource. You can meet, hire, and learn from really good people doing good business and good things. So I encourage you to check it out. And you can also listen and subscribe to Everything Home on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Blog Talk Radio, and Player FM. Today's show, I think, is very appropriate for this time of year. The topic that we're going over today is common frauds and scams. You've got the IRS scams that are out there, which people fall for. And I just want to make an announcement to everyone listening in radio and podcast land. The IRS never calls you. They never call you. So if you get a call from the IRS, it's not real. Trust me, if they want to find you, you're going to get that little letter in the mail. And then if you don't respond, you're going to get a special letter that says certified and there's some green on it. So that's when you pick up the phone because you got some problems. So trust me, they never call. They will go ahead and they will find you. They will send nice little letters. Well, they're not really nice, but they will send letters to find you. With that being said, there was something on the news this morning about these grandkids scams where the grandparents are being called frantically that the grandkids injured he's in Mexico and, you know, wire us $30,000. Well, apparently some grandmother did that and somebody had stopped it. I don't know if it was her bank. I didn't watch the whole thing, but I thought it was appropriate since we're talking about that kind of shenanigans on the show again. And you would think, hey, it's 2019. We're supposed to be smarter. But as Lori's going to tell you, these criminals, they're getting even smarter. And especially with technology and the internet, it's getting easier for them to kind of get their hands in our pockets or even in our brains. So lots to share with everybody today. But first, we're going to go ahead and do a few jokes that are themed for today's event. And I said I didn't want Storm to be offended because I did throw in an attorney joke because you got to always throw an attorney joke when you're talking about this kind of stuff. So here we go. Two jokes for everybody today. As a lawyer woke up in the hospital after surgery, he said, "Why are the blinds closed?" And the nurse answered, "Well, there's a fire across the street, and we didn't want you to think that the operation had been a failure." Hey! Oh, that was a good one. I keep it somewhat clean. All right, the second one. "Well, I knew the psychic was a fraud the second she accepted my check." Hey! So now we're all warmed up. We got a little bit of humor into the mood. And today we're talking about common frauds and scams. And my guests are the hosts of Fraudsters Radio Show, Storm Bradford and Lori Z. Fraudsters Radio Show is created to expose crackpots, scams, scammers, frauds, and fraudsters everywhere and in every industry. They're live and in person on Mondays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time on AMFM247.com. So how are you both doing today?
We're doing good, Storm.
What we'll do is, since we've got the two guests, we'll always do ladies first. So we're gonna go old school, Storm. Ah. We're gonna have ladies first if we can try to honor that old tradition.
Well, sure. I'm Lori Zook, and I'm the co-host along with Storm, as you said, for Fraudsters Radio. Pretty exciting show in that what we actually try to do. We pick a topic for each show. And then usually we'll have on some type of a guest expert. So we've had the FBI on. Yes, we've had the IRS on, saying what you were just saying a few minutes ago. But we'll have detectives on. We'll have attorneys on or someone that's, you know, in a field relative to where they're an expert on fraud. By trade, I'm a consumer credit consultant. I teach people with bad credit how to work on their credit legitimately, unlike credit repair companies. And in the course of doing that, people often call me for advice on other things. And so that's how I actually got started in radio a few years ago, doing consumer advocacy. So when Storm called me last year and said, hey, let's do Fraudsters Radio, that's how we got connected. And we've known each other for many years.
And then, Storm, give us a little bit about your background.
I have a litigation support company that I've had for almost 40 years. We basically train attorneys on how to win novel-type cases. We write briefs, motions, affidavits, jury instructions. We get called in on cases they don't know how to win, so they come to us to help them in their endeavors. We started out getting wrongfully convicted people out of jail, and then as time went by, attorneys would call us and say, well, wait a minute, if you can get them out of jail once they got them, you must know how to keep them from going in the first place. We said, yeah. So then we got into helping them pre-trial. Then same attorneys, they'd have civil cases and they'd come to us, wrongful death cases, things like that. We were brought in on a case to help out to sue Dole Pineapple. We got the client $18 million. We got millions for wrongful death cases, millions for legal malpractice cases. And about 12 years ago, we started getting a bunch of calls on how do you win these foreclosure cases for homeowners that are about to lose their homes. And we said, well, you got to attack the contract. You know, these contracts, the vast majority of them are bad. So we created that. And then after that, we had pension funds and hedge funds coming to us that buy these bad notes from the major players to analyze their notes. And we started doing that. And now we just started analyzing student loans for people who borrowed money, you know, to go to school. It's really funny because there's so much bad information like there is on anything else that these student loan people who borrowed money are told that you can't. Now, this is the majority of lawyers tell these borrowers you can't bankrupt student loans. And this includes the majority of bankruptcy attorneys tell you that. Well, yes, you can. We've also found how to get rid of student loans, eliminate them completely. Most people who are doing student loan relief, if you will, if that would be a proper term to use for what they do, they just basically, well, you can refinance a loan, you can consolidate your debt, and that kind of stuff. No, there's all kinds of ways, you know, that you could totally eliminate it or bankrupt it if you follow certain criteria. So this is what we do. We're the go-to firm where when a lawyer has a problem and he doesn't know the answer, they come to us. So that's basically my background and kind of what our companies do.
It's interesting that you're now getting into the student loan world, and I'm sure you've seen the transition. Obviously, you went from mortgage primarily and now student loans, which is where the money went from back when they were handing out subprime loans like candy, which started this whole issue back, say, in 2007 when it started to go sideways. You noticed that those companies obviously started to go out of business. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the big money behind the scenes started putting the money into the student loan world, where then you started seeing the ads, you started seeing everybody starting to work for these companies that were pitching all the student loans. So it was just a matter of where the big money went. And now that's you're cleaning up the same mess, but you're following the pattern of where the money trail goes. So it's an interesting segue.
And you're absolutely correct, because when you're talking big money, Michelle, their student loan debt is $1.5 trillion.
Oh, it's out of control, because when I was working over at a law firm from 2014 to 16-ish, it just hit a trillion. That was only a handful of years ago. It's like compound interest in the acceleration rate of what it is, because the amounts are so big. I mean, I remember seeing student loan debts where the people are in, and I don't want to get off topic, but they, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars. And there's no way you're never going to have enough money coming in ever to make this money back. Then I found out, which you probably know, that then when they were handing out this money, it wasn't going to the school. Like, I've talked a bunch of, well, we bought a car with it, I went on trips. Well, what happened? Doesn't it go to the school? Oh, no, I got it. I said, oh, well, that's the problem. You're handing $50,000 to a 20-year-old. What are you, nuts? who came up with that plan? And then all of a sudden, now, you know, you got a mess on your hands. But anyway, we, that's a whole nother show in itself. But let's talk about how the consumer actually needs to really understand what's going on and how to protect themselves. Because as Lori had mentioned, these guys are getting really sneaky. If you want to talk about your show for a little bit, please do that. And then let's talk into some specifics on what you guys are seeing and how people can protect themselves for what's going on out there. Because it's getting squirrely and chaotic.
Right, and the evil people are becoming smarter, like I said, than the good people. So on the show, we'll pick different topics, you know, with an expert, discuss that topic, and we try to have the expert talk about how that problem could be prevented, and also what can be done if that situation already happened to that, you know, to somebody in that situation. And I want to go back for a moment also, like just to give you an example on the student loans. Every week, Michelle, I get some bogus phone call. It's almost funny, you know, because I don't like to pick up my phone anymore if I don't recognize the number, but sometimes I do. And so I got a call from a woman in a call center who barely spoke English, and her opening line was, we have entered you into the sweepstakes to pay off your student loans, and I just need
awesome.
To get some information from you. I just need to get some information. And I'm, you know, I'm laughing hysterically, silently on the other end of the phone, and I say to her, well, I want to let you know that I am recording this call. By the way, you know, not only have you violated, you know, the Telephone Consumer Protection Act because I'm on the Do Not Call list, but I don't have any student loans, so why don't you just stop scamming people? And she got all flustered and hung up. So it's almost, you know, they're saying this year, and I think I'm already there, 50% or more of your calls are going to be robocalls or scammers, and where I'm really especially concerned with people that are either very young or the elderly, who seem to be a pretty big target. And so I have family members that are elderly that I'll give you a quick situation because Storm has plenty of stories here too, where I had a family member who got an email that appeared as if it was from Amazon. But what it said was your email, and it put up her email, your email may have been compromised and used for the purchase on a transaction on Amazon. If you did not make a purchase on Amazon, click here. And so she clicked on the attachment. Now, she didn't check the website, or I'm sorry, the email address, which was clearly not from Amazon. And what it did was it opened her up to somebody else getting inside her computer emails. Now, fortunately, she was able to realize what she made a mistake, called her remote computer service, and it was very expensive to fix, but they were able to get in. So what I basically do, you know, it's like I have to print a list for all the elderly people in my family and say, if you don't know who it's from, if you don't know what it is, if they're asking you for personal information, anything that you just question for a moment, for a split second, just hit delete. Just delete all those emails. You can get 100 of them a day that may make it through your spam filter, but if you don't know what it is, delete it. And if it's a legitimate company, you can, I want to say you can look them up online, because I've had problems with scam companies online, but there is a good website, a good search engine called gethuman.com, and you can search out legitimate numbers for most companies, and it tells you how to get through to a live customer service person pretty quickly. But we have lots of stories. Storm can share lots of stories too.
Yes, Storm, do you want to give a couple of the most recent that people need to be aware of? And it just seems like the people are thinking it's something real, and it's almost like whenever you get these emails or you get a phone call, don't click the button or don't click any of that stuff. Just almost you have to start from scratch, where then go back into your app or go back into the website,
right,
and then go from there. But never click on anything that you get sent, because I get stuff all the time that comes through, and I'm like, that's not through Microsoft 365, or they don't need an update for something or other. And you
right.
know, if you're not paying attention or you don't know, I mean, we're all in this world where we're in it, so we know that these things are going on. But somebody who's just, like you said, elderly or young, or they're busy, they don't think twice. They click, and then now you've got a big problem.
Right.
Well, you know, Michelle, that the recommendations that Laurie and I both give, and every one of the experts that we've had on the radio show, they give as well. It's the old adage: if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. And two, the other thing is that, you know, we're basically lazy. We don't
mm-hmm.
check things out. We really need to check things out. Again, if it sounds too good to be true, check it out. There's some things that are even being hid from the public. And matter of fact, Laurie and I were talking earlier today about the Planned Parenthood. And I don't care what anybody's idea behind it is, right to life or you know, your right to have an abortion or whatever the case may be, but even for someone who believes that abortion's okay, last year alone, Planned Parenthood did almost 340,000 abortions. And they basically sell body parts from fetuses as old as 26 weeks old. And these body parts, they're using as flavor enhancers in foods. They're using these tissues in vaccines. It's a multi-billion dollar business. And so even for the people who, you know, are for abortions are okay, if they knew what was really going on and what's being hidden from the public, because, I mean, when you're talking about, matter of fact, I was reading an article, that's what I was telling Lori about, you know, about we're eating our children. And this is what the article was about. And the individual who wrote the article, you know, was showing all of these horrible things that was going on with the use of fetal tissue. I mean, it's amazing the types of things that is being kept from the public. That in and of itself is a fraud. It's fraud by silence, especially if these types of things, again, are going on and nobody's aware of it because they keep the public in the dark. So it's really kind of scary, all of the things that are out there that we don't know about, and it's because we don't keep our ears to the ground. You know, it's the old proverbial, you know, you believe everything that you see on television. You know, you believe everything that you hear on the news, just like those kids, those Covington Catholic school kids. It all came across that these kids were causing trouble. They were doing this, were doing that. Well, it turned out after the fact that they were all standing around waiting for a bus, and there was this black activist group that are selling, yelling racial epithets at them and calling them, you know, all kinds of horrible names. And then all of a sudden they have this nitwit come up and banging a drum in this kid's face, and the kid's just kind of like standing there. He didn't know what to do. He's just standing there. This guy's beating a drum in his face. It all starts out, these kids did all this horrible stuff, and it turns out they were the victims. But here's the press basically making it sound like something entirely different. So, you know, we really have to be suspect of, especially in today's world, we really need to be suspect of everything that we read, everything that we're told. Check it, double check it, and make sure. Because you're not going to get scammed.
Well, I'm glad that you brought that up, because the beginning when we started talking about this show, and in my mind, I was just thinking that we were going to kind of just touch on common frauds and scams that people are getting the wool pulled over their eyes when it comes to transactions and the internet and, you know, like the letters of the Zimbabwe, you know, wherever they've got the prince who's got the money and all that. But you bring up a whole nother world, which is going to obviously it could be a whole nother show, where there's all these things going on, and Planned Parenthood, we're actually paying for that with our tax dollars. So we're paying for them to do all that, which that's something else that most people aren't necessarily knowing or thinking about, because like you said, we're lazy and we just believe what everyone else is telling us. So it is, that's a whole nother side of fraud and scams. We're being frauded and scammed by the entities that we're supposed to have confidence in, or we're allowing them to have our trust. So, you know, it's almost like it's buyer beware, consumer beware, and citizen beware. And we need to take we need to be more responsible in all of the information that comes to us. Like you said, even if it's TV, news, or internet, it's bigger than just the scam that comes across, like Lori mentioned, for Amazon.
Right. And you know, people, most people watch TV, Michelle. I watch almost no TV. I don't believe anything anymore, you know, really, that's on the news, especially on those big channels. It's all just whatever they want to sell you. And if you look up articles online, you have to consider the source of the article, you know, as far as information. And you can read, you know, on one topic, both sides of the coin. So if there's a topic
right.
I'm interested in, I may read both sides of the coin before I come to what I think is a good decision on it. But what people tell you is what their opinion is. You know, it's an op-ed. It's no longer neutrally based news and just flat out news. It's who can get the highest ratings so they can get the highest commercial paid sponsors. And I just find that a bunch of let's beat this particular topic to death on the news. And after like 2 minutes, okay, let's go to the next topic, guys. No, we're gonna talk about this for 30 minutes. And I guess people, maybe they like that. It's kind of like being Jerry Springer of news if you're watching Fox
mm-hmm.
News or CNN. You know, and after a while, I go, do only stupid people watch this? Who watches these shows that gets these sponsors to pay lots of money? There must be a lot of sheeple out there. I'm not one of them. I just don't believe it anymore. And I don't believe what most people say. I don't trust most people anymore because I see what happens and goes on. You know, we talk on our show, when you, like, if you're hiring a company, you could go online and look up the ratings or reviews or complaints against companies before you hire them. So, you know, it all depends. Like I said, we could talk about plenty of show topics if you wanted. You know, like I said, we had the IRS on, and they basically said exactly what you said. But one of the biggest problems when we've spoken with the IRS and the FBI over some of these topics is that they will say to us, there just are not enough of our, you know, federal employees to handle the amount of crimes and criminal activity that is going on. There just are not enough people. And that's part of where they say they try to educate by doing radio shows like ours. But people have to be able to, you know, people have to want to learn for themselves the consumer advocacy end, because we're trying to help them from things that have happened maybe to us or people we know. You know, you don't want to get screwed over. So why not take some time before you're making big decisions? You know, listen to our show, listen to other shows, do some research. Don't just assume what someone is telling you is true, not even if they're your fiduciary. And I've learned that one the hard way.
Well, and that's a great topic and a point that you bring up, that even the people that you put some faith into, and I'm sure you both have some examples of that, you got to make sure that they're really in your best interest also. And it's almost like you've got to be so proactive, because you both are doing your best to be giving out information. But at the end of the day, both of the things that you are doing in regards to your businesses are because people didn't listen. So now you have to help
right.
fix the problem. So it's like
right.
you both are getting busier. And they even Storm said now that they're doing more into the student loan deals because people aren't taking the precaution prior to stepping into something or doing the homework, and you're cleaning up what has to be done. So it's like we can preach to the choir all day, but people at the end of the day need to be more personal, be responsible, and find individuals like yourself, shows like what you have to rely on for good factual information, where that's somebody you can trust. Do you agree with that, Storm?
Right, well,
I'm promoting both of you to the extent where
yes.
these are the people that you need to listen to, guys, because they know what they're doing. And they're all right. Let me do this then. I want each of you to share why you are doing what you're doing. What happened, or what caused you to get to the point where I need to stand up and I need to help, but I need to fix. So I'll let Storm go on this one to say why you're doing this. What got you to this point?
Well, you know, I see on a daily basis, I mean, we talk to people who've been charged with crimes, obviously. We see people who got in bad contracts. We just kind of see how life gets ruined for people because they make mistakes. And, you know, we all make mistakes, and that's why there's erasers on pencils. We make mistakes. We do it all the time. And one of the reasons why is I used to sit with criminal defendants, and I would take out a legal pad, and I would write down a phrase and turn it over, and I'd ask them why they committed the crime they did. And the first words out of their mouth every time was, you know, they start to tell their story and they say, well, I didn't think that blah, blah, blah. I said, stop. And I lift up the legal pad and I said, what's that phrase say? I didn't think. I said, well, how do you think I knew that? I said, I'm not a fourth teller. I don't have a crystal ball. You're right. You didn't think. Because if you had a thought that you possibly could have gone to jail, you possibly, if you went in to rob a store, you could have possibly been shot and killed. You know, everybody plays the definition game. They got reasons why they do things, but it doesn't stop that from being a crime in society. And if you get bad contracts, if you thought it out before you got into it, you probably wouldn't have done it. That goes to all the people that got into these bad mortgages. They knew when they were taking out the mortgage that they couldn't pay for it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so you have all these problems, and the problems are all precipitated by people who don't think. So that's why I'm constantly banging people over their head. Think before you do something. You know, it's a known fact. People buy emotionally and later try to justify it with fact. My wife is the perfect example. She'll go out shopping, bring all these bags home, throw it on the bed and said, okay, I'm taking this back, I'm taking this back, I'm taking that back. Well, excuse me, why did you buy it in the first place? Well, I know why, because she bought it from emotion, not from fact. So, you know, again, you know, I'm a big believer in check things out, think before, jump, you know, so don't jump into an empty pool. Always make sure that whatever you're doing, you think before you do it. And again, if something sounds too good to be true, it probably is. Check it out, double check it out, and then make sure that the information that you're getting is not something that you hear from somebody else. Check it out for yourself. And you'll get through life pretty positive way. The other selfish reason for doing it is one of the things that we did at Mortgage Fraud Examiners, there's a lot of scams out there where homeowners were getting scammed. So what we would do is we would basically out the scammers and out what the scam was. Well, what do you think the scammers would do? There's a company called Ripoff Reports.
Mm-hmm.
The guy who started Ripoff Reports had an altruistic reason for doing it. But then over time, competitors in business found that, wait a minute, I got a competitor here. I can go with an assumed name and make a lie about this company. And then I'll use 5 or 6 more assumed names and basically say the same thing happened to them. Now, all of a sudden, here's this very legitimate company, but they've got 5 or 6 things on Ripoff Reports that was a total scam. That started to happen to us. So we decided, well, wait a minute. The only way we can overcome this is they might try to attack our company, but if we start a radio show, they can't attack the radio show. So that was the selfish reason for doing it, but the altruistic reason is what I already mentioned.
Huh, interesting. Yeah, it's sometimes competition can really destroy somebody, like you said, or tarnish your reputation, and you have your reputation risk on the line because people, like you said, believe what they read, and then all of a sudden it becomes the gospel. Like, well, they said it was. Well, that must be true. No. So you got to fight
exactly.
Fire with fire, and that's what you did.
Yeah, and make up using an assumed name. I mean, I could write something about Michelle and say she's a total fraud. She's this. No, I can't give my real name.
Yeah, that wouldn't be. It would be very nice. It wouldn't be very nice if you did that.
And the thing about it is, Michelle, you can't get it off.
Right.
Ripoff Reports have been sued many times, and the courts have already said in each case, look, all this guy's doing is giving a platform for people to say things. So you can't get it off, and that's just the problem. You know, I tell people all the time when it came to our company, I said, look, we got an A rating with the Better Business Bureau, never had a complaint in 40 years, and Ripoff Reports has an F rating. So who do you believe? So,
mm-hmm.
You know, but there's scams on all sides. So you really got to be careful, and you got to check out what you hear. My grandmother used to have a funny saying. She lived to be 105. And when she was about 104, I said, why do you think you live so long? She said, take this, and she goes, two things. Stay the hell out of hospital. She says, if there's nothing wrong with you, you'll find something wrong. Then her second thing was, don't believe a thing you hear and half of what you see, and you'll live a long life like mine. So I try to go by her standards.
That's good advice. Very good advice.
And you know what? I want to point out something interesting, Michelle, that Storm and I share in common, even though we work in different fields. Because we both compete against other companies, but we're each kind of unique in our own industries. But we, like, for example, I'm a credit consultant. I compete with credit repair agencies, the majority of whom are fraudulent. Even the FTC has said that, but they don't have enough people to do anything about it. So when people read Craigslist ads on credit repair where, hey, you can get an 800 score in 5 days for hardly any money, people believe it because there's more of the bad than the truth out there. With Storm, when he deals with clients with mortgage fraud examiners, and that's his field, he tells people forensic audits are baloney. They're BS. They're not. There's, you know, he explains to them the legal terms of why it's not going to do them any good because his way is the right way. But when you're a company that's basically figured out how a particular system has worked and you want to help people, the problem is there's 95% of the other companies out there are going to contradict you even though they're the fraudsters and they're still operating. So it makes it harder for legitimate companies to explain to people because they want to believe what the scammers are telling them is true, you know, and that's a big part of the problem. They want to believe what the scammers are telling them is true, and it's not.
Well, and it goes back to the point of a quick fix and easy, and we're lazy. So like you mentioned, the credit card companies, or the credit consulting, credit repair, whatever words they want to use. I've been in the mortgage industry for 22 years, so there isn't anything I haven't seen, heard, or lines that of bull that I've been thrown at me by clients or people over the years. And it's horrific. None of those companies can do anything other than remove something that is a legitimate error. So if you have something on there that is real, it's not going to be magically removed because somebody said they're going to take $100 from you and then $50 a month or whatever the new model is that they all use because they wrote 100 letters saying, remove this. So you know what I mean? So yes, you are up against all of these other people that tell lies to the public. And then the public wants to believe that because they think, oh, if I'm just going to pay them, it's going to happen. Well, that's not how the case is. So it makes the things, the real good, legitimate people have a harder time trying to get the truth out because we as people don't want to hear the truth. We want to hear what we want to hear because we want that answer. Because if you're going to give me the answer I want to hear, well, then you must be right. And I'm going to go with you. Well, then now I have my money's gone. And I wasted my money, and I'm still right where I started. So what did that
right
solve, right?
Yeah, they want the easy, cheap way out. And there is no easy, cheap way out when you have those kind of problems. And those problems usually take a long time to develop. And, yes, you can do some corrections. There are some things you can do. You know, you asked earlier for Storm why he did the show. Well, for me, doing the show, one, yes, I have been defrauded. And two, I know plenty of people who have been defrauded. And three, working as a credit consultant, when I'm working with a client, they seem to think that I know everything about everything. And I said, well, you know, I like consumer advocacy, and that's why I ended up doing another show on consumer advocacy a few years ago. I did 75 one-hour shows with experts. So now when somebody calls me up, whether a client, a family member, a friend, and they ask me a question, my response usually is, wait, I did a radio show on that. Let me, with an expert, let me send you the podcast. That way I'm not 2 hours on the phone with somebody when I already have done a show, and I can send them the podcast with an expert's information and advice. And that will, and usually people write me back and say, thanks so much, that answered all my questions. So that's sort of what we're trying to do, is get the word out there so that people don't make dumb mistakes. And you might not think you're making a dumb mistake at the time, but let's be real, we've all made dumb mistakes at some time, except maybe Storm, because I'll tell you, Storm, he's always right. He is always right, and he'll tell you, I tell him that, he's always on target, he is always right. He knows how it works.
So there's no response for that, Storm, because that was a pretty nice segue into allowing you to stand on your own pedestal.
Are you with the Storm?
I think we lost him. Did we lose him?
Oh, maybe we did.
I think he ran off to an important case. He had an emergency. Yeah.
Okay.
I was just washing my body with that nice comment she made.
He is always right.
I've told people for years that I've only been wrong once in my life. And that's when I thought I was wrong, but it turned out I was right. So that's always been my little quip. I'm one of those ones that what I like to do is before I make a comment, I want to make sure that I know what I'm talking about. And I tell people that, you know, if you believe in the truth and you want to stand by the truth, make sure that you're not parroting somebody else's nonsense. Check it out for yourself. Again, know what you're talking about before you open your mouth, or don't open your mouth. Just shut up and be quiet until you do know what you're talking about. And then if you got a comment, you go ahead and you make it. So, you know, it's not hard to be right. It's easy to be wrong, and it's not hard to be right. Let's all just make sure that we know what we're talking about before we say something, and we'll usually end up on top.
So why don't you both give some great examples of either recent or more common or hot scams that you're starting to see now that people should be aware of, so that if they see it, they're like, okay, that's already fishy. I don't even have to think twice about it. That's already some shenanigans. So that way that they could just have maybe three or four real hot ones that you're seeing.
Go ahead, Laurie. Go ahead first, and then I'll
Okay. Yeah, I do this every week, because every week there's a new one. I already explained the one about if you don't know what the email is, if you don't know what the attachment is, just automatically delete it. If you don't know, if the person that's calling you is not programmed in your phone, I'm sorry, let it go to voicemail, because the majority of them are scammers and robocalls. And you just don't want to deal with that. Another recent one that I tell people to be careful, this happened to me, and then it happened to a friend of mine out in California 3 days later, when I had Googled PayPal on my phone. I had a question about a transaction, because I have three accounts, and in one of those accounts I had a question about a transaction. I called the number listed under the actual PayPal listing, okay, the actual. And I should have been, it was morning, I wasn't quite awake, but my first clue should have been, there was no automated PayPal message playing. It was a guy who answered the phone. My second mistake was I said, PayPal, and the guy said yes. Then my next mistake was, well, I said I have a problem with one of my Gmail accounts, and he wanted my password. And I'm like, no, you guys don't ask for the password. Now, I had only given him my email account, no password. The guy says to me, hey, I see, he reads off the transaction, the name of the person, and the dollar amount. Remember, I have not given him my password. And then meantime, I say to him, hey, on my desktop, I just got a message from PayPal asking if I changed my password. I better call them back. And he's trying to convince me, no, 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 stay on the line. I hang up. He keeps calling. I couldn't even get through to PayPal. Well, what I did was I actually went into PayPal. I then changed all my passwords immediately. Okay, now this, like I said, this phone number actually showed up under an actual PayPal listing. I don't know how they did it, and it was not on the computer, it was on the phone. PayPal, it took me hours to get through to them for help. I'm calling my banks going, oh my God, can these people access my money? I had to go to all my banks the next day to make sure, you know, everything was set. But when and they didn't even seem that concerned, PayPal, because they said to me, hey, fraud happens all the time. You should be really concerned if someone's saying, hey, I can see into your account. You kind of figure out they're not from PayPal. If they can access that account, they can withdraw money from your funds. Now, the difference is if it's from your bank, you know, and they're FDIC insured, you might be protected. But if you have money escrowed in PayPal, they're global. They don't operate under regular banking rules. You may have a hard time getting that money back. But when a friend of mine called me 3 days later and said, hey, I got this funny story to tell you, how I Googled PayPal on my phone and I called this toll-free number and I got some guy and he wanted me to, like, wire transfer money and he was going to send me gift cards. Well, she realized right away then it was a scam. I think she just played with him a little bit. But I went, oh, my God, I bet you she got the same phone number that I did. But like I said, when I actually got through to PayPal's fraud department, which was not until the next day, you know, imagine they could have been debiting all my money, that, you know, they just didn't seem to care all that much. Oh, this happens all the time. Well, you know what? You should care. You should care, but they don't.
Well, you know, you bring up a good point. You bring up a very good point about this all this online PayPal banking, Venmo. You know, there's so many different ones that are out there nowadays. So it's almost like you said the FDIC, the old school banking, your bank is protected. So if there was any fraudulent activity, and I've had it happen to me numerous times, somebody somehow got my debit card number, not even the card. Next thing you know, there's a $1,200 charge in Mexico at a Home Depot. What? I didn't even know Mexico had Home Depot. No, unless somebody was doing a home construction project in Tijuana on my dime. But at least my bank didn't, you know, it took a couple of days, but they put the money back in the account because it was real money. It was a checking account. But at least I was protected. You're not protected on these PayPal, Venmo, all these really cool apps that people are doing transferring money. So it might be smart if you're going to use those. Yes, go ahead and do the transfer to get the money in, but think about getting that money out as fast as possible and put it back into your real bank account so it is protected. Because otherwise it could be vulnerable, just like you said. You have someone can tap into this stuff. They say everything's secure, but at the end of the day, I mean, you know, what's really only secured is when it's in your own pocket, you know? So you have to take these other precautions because you even said these guys are getting sneaky. They're cloning numbers. They're cloning phones. They're doing so much advanced technology things that you don't know even if it's real where you do this all the time and you didn't somehow they got the phone number so that you called in and you actually were having this happen. So it's another thing to think about. Cover your ass and maybe take the money out of that PayPal account, put it in your bank account that at least it's protected, you know?
You should check your bank accounts every single day because things can magically disappear. And if you wait weeks to look, some people don't really look, then you don't know what's happening. So that's one piece of advice. The other piece of advice is if you've been a victim of identity theft of some sort, lock down all your credit accounts. Get security freezes with the passcode. That should actually be mandatory and not optional now. That will afford you a lot more protection also.
So basically, you've got the email scams that are coming. You've got phone numbers that you don't know. You're calling a number and no outgoing message that seems like it's an automated system. That's a warning sign. You know, Joe answers the phone. Hey, it's PayPal. Click. not a
right.
And, you know,
right.
Check your bank
accounts
every day. In the IRS, know that they never call. So don't ever don't believe that one. They never call and they don't necessarily come on your door. So don't worry about that. Any other ones that are hot topics that you're seeing that are becoming more prevalent? Either one of you, go ahead and just rattle off a few.
Go ahead for a storm.
Well, one of the biggest ones that we see in what we do as far as helping people in foreclosure is what we call stall attorneys, that a homeowner, you know, gets a notice of default that the bank, if they don't pay the amount that they owe past due, that they're going to foreclose on them. So they go seek out an attorney thinking that this attorney will be able to stop, you know, the foreclosure. And unfortunately, the vast majority of these attorneys, again, which we call stall attorneys, they charge enormous amounts of money to these poor people who are in foreclosure. We had one attorney where, you know, Lori was, she heard it, others heard it. The attorney charged $3,500 up front and $1,000 a month until what he called fruition. And I said, well, how long is fruition? He goes, well, maybe it's a year, 2 years, 3 years. So in judicial states, if you do nothing from the time you miss your first payment until you're thrown out of your house, it's a minimum of 3 years anyway, because that's how long it takes to wind its way through the court system. So here you have an attorney charged $3,500 up front, $1,000 a month for 3 years. That's $40,000.
You should have just paid the back payments at that point, right?
Yeah.
Right, put it towards the money that you owe. Yeah.
Yeah. So what's the result? The result is the poor homeowner spent $40,000 to some hack that he was just sitting around doing nothing. And then they get thrown out of their house. And then because they were stalling all that time, they have to pay the bank's legal fees, which in a lot of cases are over $100,000. So they got a $40,000 bill. They lose their house to foreclosure. Then they get a judgment for $100,000. And in a lot of cases, a deficiency judgment, the difference between what you owed and what the house sold for. So that's basically a scam. These attorneys are committing malpractice because they're not analyzing the mortgage transaction. A foreclosure is a breach of contract case. The bank's alleging the homeowner breached the contract by not making payments. The contract's very clear. We all agreed in the contract that if we failed to make payments, the bank could take the house to sell it to get their money back. So it's a breach of contract case. An attorney that doesn't analyze the contract is committing malpractice. The lawyer on a week ago, and I got him to admit that. He goes, yeah, absolutely. He says, if they're not looking at the contract, they're committing malpractice. So that's one of the biggest scams that we see in that part of the industry. So, but,
are you seeing that happening more now all of a sudden? Is there a surge in that just because something's going on?
It's been that way all along. I gave a talk in Florida and talked to about 100 so-called foreclosure defense attorneys, and those 100 had over 100,000 homeowners as clients. Some of them had as many as 7,000 clients. Not one of them had ever won a case.
Wow. That's just money in their pockets because they knew that there was no case to win in the first place, correct?
Right. To win because they didn't have a defense. And their only defense was that maybe they didn't file the note with the complaint. And, you know, the judge would throw it out. But what would happen was they go get the note, come back, and re-foreclose. And
right.
And then they'd hit him up for the same amount of money again. I even asked this guy, so let me ask you a question. What do you do if the bank didn't happen to have the note when they filed the complaint and the case got dismissed? He goes, oh, well, this is basically I won the case. I said, yeah, but they're going to bring it back. He goes, well, that's true. I said, do you charge them another $3,500 a month? Oh, yeah, yeah, because I won the first case. I said, you win it, you stalled it.
Yeah.
They tell the poor homeowner, what are you complaining about? I kept you in your house all that time. No, you
right.
They were staying here for 3 years anyway.
Yeah.
Well, and nobody in Florida is doing anything. Like there is, what about, because these attorneys, they're licensed, right? So then they have some sort of, thought they had an ethical oath or something that they had to abide by. So nobody cares?
Lori can tell you a little bit about that. Go ahead, Lori.
Yeah, I can tell you a little bit about that. The truth is they don't care. The Florida bar, I invited the Florida bar to be on the show. I spoke with their PR, their PR person, and they sounded all excited, never gave them my email. A couple hours later, they must have looked me up online, got my email address, copied me with 5 other attorneys. They have a program like that helps consumers if they feel they've been, if there's malpractice by an attorney, called the ACAP program. And what they did was they copied and pasted a page from the website, which, of course, I had already read, copied these other five attorneys and said, here's some information. Sorry, we're going to decline being on your show. Well, that, to me, sent a signal right there. I replied back and said, wait a minute. We're giving you an hour of free airtime to help, you know, consumers who have been taken advantage of with possible malpractice by an attorney, and you don't want to come on and explain what your ACAP program is, and they did not respond. Now, you know, working in credit for all these years, and back when the bubble burst, obviously I would get lots and lots of phone calls, and I am not an attorney, and so, you know, I would try to find attorneys that would counterclaim. Because people will call me up and go, hey, I got this attorney. And I go, okay, how many cases did he win? And they go, what do you mean? I go, well, shouldn't you be asking an attorney how many foreclosure cases they've won? And they're like, I didn't do that. Well, I called, emailed, or wrote to over 200 attorneys between, I'm going to say, 2009 and probably 2014, a several-year period. And do you know, of the ones I spoke to on the phone, because I didn't get any emails or written responses back, asking for someone to, you know, that would counterclaim for clients that, you know, I would be referring them, for example. And you know what the people I spoke to on the phone said? I don't want to litigate. They were whiny. I don't want to go to court. I just want to collect a monthly retainer, you know, which they're not getting, you know, if you're doing two pleadings a year, filing documents twice a year, I just want to collect a monthly retainer, and then when it gets to the end, we'll do a loan modification or cash for keys, deed in lieu, or short sale, or, you know, if they want to let it go to foreclosure. But not one attorney, they didn't want to go to court, they didn't want to litigate. I will honestly tell you, I don't think, for the most part, I don't think the majority of them even actually read the closing transaction documents. I don't think that most of them read that, and a storm would tell you, like, if this is contract law, you have to read the contract to know what to come back with, not just to stall out, or as he likes to call them, pretender defenders, because they're telling the homeowner, hey, we can help you in foreclosure. That client is not actually being told that they have a chance. They're not being told that they have no chance of winning because the attorney is not going to counterclaim if there was fraudulent inducement or some other legal issue. And so it's like a double whammy to that homeowner financially. First, on the side of, you know, the problem with the mortgage. Second, hiring an attorney who's never won anything and is going to do nothing more than delay. And while some of them may say that, the majority of them I found do not. So I think that's like double fraud.
Shed light on the fact that they didn't work. Like, it's, I just basically, while I heard echoing in my head, it was, Mom, I don't want to go to school today. Wah, I don't want to go.
Yeah.
You know, I gotta go to work. You're making money from somebody. You're saying this is what you do, and you do it either half-assed or you don't do it at all. So, you know, it goes back to really the consumer has to really just do their homework and make sure that the people that they're working with or they're listening to really are good people. Hey, I'm going to plug my show. Good people doing good business and good things. You're two of them. So they need to make sure that that's what they take into consideration. If you're going to hire them, whether you're paying somebody or not, it's still time, energy, and something on the line. So it's really important to take into consideration. There's so much that we can go over with everything that you guys are doing with the radio show and your own business. So I want you to come back on. We can even go into, I mean, today was like a broad strokes of just covering parts of the of your show, which is Fraudsters Radio Show on AMFM247.com. But next time you guys come on, let's pick one specific topic and just beat the heck out of it so that we can kind of go deep into something. I know that you both got to get going. Why don't you give each kind of your last words of wisdom, plug the show, give the websites, give your websites for your companies, and then we'll wrap it up. And I'm teasing you as you're coming back on very soon. So I hope you're picking up what I'm putting down.
Sure, we'd love to do it. You know, the show is Fraudsters Radio. We don't have a website. We do have a Facebook page for Fraudsters Radio, and all the shows are also up on YouTube. I own CreditEducationConsultants.com. I'm basically an educator, an analyst, a teacher of consumer credit. As far as the show, like we said, we're trying to help people. So, Storm, why don't you give out your information?
MortgageFraudExaminers.com is the entity that helps homeowners. Mortgage Note and Portfolio Examiners, the ones that we look at notes for investors, that's noteexaminers.com. The litigation support company is lawpartneroncall.com. We really haven't gotten the domain name or put the website up for the student loans yet. We're in the process of doing that as we speak. But I do want to say, Michelle, thank you very much for giving us the opportunity for coming on and to share some ideas that we had. And we look forward to coming back on with you again.
All right. There's the commitment. And it's recorded so that whenever I get a little pushback, oh, I'm so busy, I'm just going to play that little segment. So then you feel bad and then you have to come on the show. I'll guilt you into coming back on more sooner than you thought. So there's a lot of great information that we discussed during the show. I appreciate you both coming on, and all of their information is going to be listed on our homepage and also in the specific episodes category, and that's permanent. So you can always access their information. Their websites will be on there, their information about them specifically, phone numbers, contact information. So like I said, start using this as a resource. These are two good people that are really doing good business and good things to take care of what needs to happen. So you guys are coming back on. I appreciate you so much today. And thank you again, because this was very enlightening. And I hope if somebody can get one thing, not get stolen from them out of this, and then we've accomplished what we need to today. Oh, what an interesting show that was with the hosts of Fraudsters Radio, Storm Bradford and Laurie Z. Like I mentioned earlier in the show, there was those emails that had gone out years ago where there was a prince and he needed money, like $20 million in the bank. He needed someone to get it out for him because it was unavailable. Then I've chosen you to go ahead and do that. But then again, all I need is your social security number, wiring instructions, date of birth, and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, the reason why I find that yet still funny, I just got an email 2 weeks ago, similar. So apparently this woman, Joan Gates, I'm just going to give you a little scenario because it's so stupid that it's still happening. And then obviously people are, I don't know why, guys, I don't know why you think this is real. Or there's a balance between hope and dreams. And come on, we all got to own up a little bit here. But I'll give you the gist and then I will let you go for the rest of your days. First, I got your email address from some directory and blah, blah, blah. My husband, he died in a ghastly motor accident on his way to a board meeting. Well, apparently there's $5.5 million that Joan wants me to get out of the bank for her, but she can't go to the bank and get it because she's undergoing cancer treatment of the lungs, so she can't even talk. And her doctor said that she's only got a few months to live. So she's sending out these emails because she wants to find someone who's trustworthy. And basically what happens is she's going to allow 70% of this money to go fund churches and orphanages and the poor and widows. And 30% goes to me. How nice of her. What amazing. What an amazing woman. I feel bad that she's dying, but she's chosen me to take this legacy and then actually take 30% of $5.5 million, which, let me get my calculator, $5.5 million. And I get 30%. So I get $1.65 million. That's a lot of money. So now the only thing I need to do, and you know what she said, I know I've never met you, but never mind that this is something I have to do. And I hope she's hoping that I act sincerely. Well, of course I will, Joan. And I appreciate that very much. So the only thing that she needs from me, and she's going to send me a picture of her and the doctor in the hospital to show her integrity. Do you believe she's going to send me a picture because she wants me to make sure that this is all legit? The only thing she needs from me is my name, my address, my phone number, my age, my occupation, and all of my identification. That's all I need. All I need to do is send her basically my whole life story, all of my identifications, and boom, I get $1,650,000. Well, thank you, Joan, for bestowing this honor upon myself. Now, people, come on. You gotta be kidding me, really? Don't do this. Don't click, don't call Joan. Don't email Joan. Don't do it. There's more of them out there. So beware, take care, don't share. Oh my God, I'm on a roll. Oh, like I said, great show talking about common frauds and scams with the Fraudsters Radio Show host, Storm Bradford and Laurie Z. We're going to have them back on. We're going to have a reoccurring segment with them so that way we can bring some information to you so that way you can be more aware and more conscious of the things that are going on in the world. And remember, all of our guests and their shows and our experts' informations are listed on our website, which is everythinghometalkshow.com. You can listen and subscribe to Everything Home on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Blog Talk Radio, and Player FM. Thanks for listening. I hope you learned something. One little takeaway. Watch your money. Make it a great day, everybody.
You've been listening to Everything Home with Michelle Swinnick.